Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and if you don't have a home church, we invite you to come up to Rancho Cucamonga at 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings and join us for our live worship service. Or you can join us online at www.theseedchristianfellowship.online.church at 10 a.m. in the morning, or you can go to our YouTube channel and watch the services. If you don't want to do that, we'll help you find a local church in your area. Boy, do we need to be back together. We need to be in fellowship. We're going to study Matthew 28, 16 to 20 today. Before we go to God's Word, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God Almighty, we pray that your word would be alive and redemptive. We pray that your word would shape us and mold us and fashion us. We pray that your word would speak to our hearts. Let us have a heart to hear and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. In Jesus' name, amen. Grab your Bible. We're in Matthew chapter 28, 16 to 20. We were there a week or so ago. Listen for God's word. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Wow. We've been talking here at the Seed Christian Fellowship about the response to the resurrection and knowing that God is with us. I always, when I go to Scripture, I always write in my journal, I'll write down who, what, when, where, why, how. I ask questions. I try to put myself in the Scriptures. Why did Matthew write this? Why Galilee? Why a mountain? Why 11? Why not 12? 11's an imperfect number. And yet it says he asked for the 11 to go. I wondered, why 11? And I think it's because he wants to restore, reestablish, he wants to bring into fellowship those 11 that had deserted him. They were frightened, they were unsure, they were skeptical, they were hesitant, they were afraid and doubtful. And yet those 11 became the leaders of the church. I'm going to take a break right now. I believe someone's listening right now that's, well, maybe they feel like they're a little skeptical, or they're a little afraid, or they're a little hesitant. This message is for you, because Jesus is calling you to come and be with him. Remember, these 11 were the ones that deserted him, and now Jesus calls them my brothers. A relationship is restored. Have you ever deserted Jesus? Have you ever run away from the truth? I want you to know, and I want you to hear, that Jesus calls us back into his family. Our relationship is restored. We are forgiven, and that is simple. He says, "My brother, my sister, welcome home." I always wrestled with why Galilee. He asked them to go back to Galilee. He was with them in Jerusalem. Jesus was crucified in Jerusalem, but why Galilee? I understand a little geography. Galilee is 100 miles from Jerusalem. He asked the brothers, those 11, to go walk 100 miles. Have you ever walked 100 miles? Like, from here, it's like where we're at in the studio, maybe it's like walking to San Diego. Someone says, "Why don't you walk to San Diego and I'll meet you there?" What's Jesus doing? I think he's asking them to have a faith walk. Do you trust me? When we turn and give our lives to Jesus, he's going to ask us to trust him and do things. And he says to those, why don't you guys walk 100 miles and I'll meet you there? He's asking them to walk a faith walk. I think during this pandemic, many of us have walked a faith walk. And then he says, on a mountaintop. I love that. He says, I'll meet you on a mountain in Galilee. Why Galilee? Why a mountain? Location is strategic to God's plan of salvation. Jesus began his earthly adult ministry in Galilee, Galilee of the Gentiles, Matthew 4:15. He quotes Isaiah 9:1-2. Please don't miss the theme of all nations. Matthew 28:19 starts here. Jesus began his earthly ministry as he would end it, with a focus on bringing the light of the gospel to both Jews and Gentiles, slaves and free, male and female. In Matthew 5:7, chapters 5-7, Jesus went up on a mountain and he gave the Sermon on the Mount. It's his first and great teaching was on a mountain in Galilee. And now this is his last teaching. Back in Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount ends with this note. Or actually in Matthew 7, when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one with authority, Matthew 7:28. One with authority. Now, going from one mountain moment to the final Great Commission, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Matthew 28:18. Have you ever made a trip up to a mountain? What a view you behold from the viewpoint. I've done several weddings in the mountains. The scenery is burned into my mind. Have you ever been to a mountain where you've gone on a retreat or a vacation? It gives you a new perspective. Are you on a mountain here with Matthew? Jesus begins and ends by telling us who has the power to make decisions and give orders. I've taken youth groups to mountains. I've taken vacations to mountains. All are spectacular. Perhaps Jesus is saying, what my Father is doing is pretty spectacular. Take it in. Look and listen. But what stopped me in my tracks this week as I was working on this passage really was verse 17. And we'll probably only get through that today. Verse 17. Listen again. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. I find this closing verse in Matthew remarkably interesting. We are told in the beginning of chapter 28, when the women saw Jesus at the empty tomb, they fell down and worshiped him. The Greek word is proskuneo. It means that they like prostrated themselves. They got down on their faces at the tomb. The women are holding on to Jesus' feet. They worshiped. And now, at the very end, before Jesus goes into heaven, it says, when they saw him, they proskuneo, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Now, over the time that we've been here on the programs, we've looked at so many of the appearances of Jesus to his disciples. Why in the world did not all of them fall down and worship Jesus? That's what my question is. Now, they've seen him resurrected from the grave. They've talked to him. They've seen his hands. They've seen his side. They've seen his feet. They ate fish with him. They've seen a man who was crucified, dead, and buried, living. But it said some of them worshiped. I was stopped. Why not all of them worship? Wait, some of them doubted. What? How can they doubt? Well, maybe they're a lot like us. The Greek word used for doubt is distazo, D-I-S-T-A-Z-O, distazo. It's a verb, and it means to hesitate, to lack confidence, to be uncertain, to waver, to doubt. The only other time that this particular word is used is when Jesus grabs Peter's hand when Peter is sinking under the water, when Peter steps out of the boat and starts walking on water. You know the story. It's found in Matthew chapter 14. I find it interesting. When a word is only used once or twice, I find it very interesting. So the only other time this word, distazo, to hesitate, lack confidence, to be uncertain, to waver, to doubt, it's used here at the end of the gospel in Matthew 28:17, and it's used in Matthew 14:31 when Peter is sinking. But that story is a wonderful story of faith. And let me read the verse in 14. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught Peter. Do you know what he said? You of little faith. You of little faith, he said. Why did you distazo? Wow. See, I think that's for us. Some time ago, a man brought forward his strong argument against the Bible, declaring, I am 70 years of age, and I have never seen such a place as hell after all that has been said about it. His little grandson was listening. The grandson was about 7 years of age, and he was listening the whole time, and he said, Grandpa, have you ever been dead yet? Well, that's a... I'm not trying to frighten you, but have you ever doubted? Have you ever been uncertain? Have you ever hesitated? How often we trust each other and we doubt our Lord. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. If you need a Bible, if you need prayer, if you need a Bible, you can email me at pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. We'll send you a Bible. If you need prayer, you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com and click on the prayer icon, and our prayer team will pray for you. How often, my question to you today is, how often do we trust someone else or trust each other and we doubt our Lord? We take the words of mortals, and yet we distrust the living word. But oh, what light and glory would shine over all our days if we always would remember God means just what he says. To tell you the truth, I am really encouraged by Matthew's truthfulness here in verse 17. Matthew did not have to record, but some doubted. Do you understand that? He didn't have to put that in the scriptures. He could have said, well, they worshiped. But there's a comma, but some doubted. Listen, these are the same 11 disciples who walked with Jesus for 3 years. They had seen Jesus walk on water, feed 5,000 men plus women and children with 5 loaves and 2 fish. They saw him heal the lepers, give sight to the blind, heal the paralyzed, cure the leprosy, cast out demons, and even raise the dead. These same 11 disciples had Jesus standing right in front of them. They knew that he had been crucified and dead and laid in a tomb for 3 days. Yet here Jesus is standing right there in front of them. They've witnessed Jesus in the upper room. Now they've traveled, they've walked 100 miles to Galilee. And they're with Jesus on the mountain. Verse 17 says, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Why didn't Matthew name names? That's what I want. Who doubted? Why didn't he say, I believed and worshiped Jesus, but Peter didn't, or neither did Thomas or Luke or James or John? I can say honestly that my faith is strengthened by these apostles' doubts. Let me say that again. My faith is strengthened by these apostles' doubts. I think Matthew kept everyone nameless so that we could put ourselves in the story. Listen, these guys were just about ready to turn the world upside down. It's not time to point fingers. From this story, we can hear that it's normal to doubt. It's normal to distazo, to hesitate, to be uncertain. Some of us listening right now feel that way. we're going through a pandemic, or maybe you're going through a divorce, or maybe you're going through a medical procedure, or maybe it's a financial crisis or a relationship breakup, and you go, where's God? Where am I? What is God doing? I believe this passage is for us. He didn't name names. He didn't point fingers. Some of us need right now to just grasp the truth, and that's okay. So what? The New Testament indicates that there are at least 10 appearances of the risen Lord, plus another some years later, Jesus appears to the Apostle Paul. In 8 of those appearance accounts, Christ gives an explicit commission. And in 5 of them, he commands his followers to go into the world and preach the gospel. The company that makes Arm & Hammer baking soda pretty much has a monopoly on the product. I'm not promoting Arm & Hammer baking soda, but I'm just going to say that they have a monopoly. Most people associate baking soda with Arm & Hammer brand because they have the market cornered. There's just a lot of competition. There's not just a lot of competition. In the same way, God wants to corner the market in terms of the account of our affections and praise. He wants to have a monopoly. Even though there are a lot of idols out there that compete with God for a share in the market, God does not want to share us with anyone. Every time someone shows up in the culture that distracts people from the true God, it encroaches on his 100% market share, and God wants a monopoly of our praise and worship. I have some scary news for you today. Most of the people I am surrounded with are people like you, people who know and love God. Maybe today's message is to encourage you to keep loving the people you know, to keep loving those who don't have a clue about Jesus. Go into the world and preach the good news. We're on the mountain. Jesus has our full attention. You know your name. I could name names right now. Keep loving your coworker. Keep loving your neighbor. Keep loving your spouse if you're married. Keep loving your friends. Keep loving the one who really drives you crazy. Yeah, keep loving that new young person who thinks they know everything. What a crazy ragtag team Jesus started with. What a crazy ragtag team we are. Yet the command is the same. Go and tell. Preach the good news. I remember several times in my life when I was like the disciples on the mountain of Galilee, worshiping and doubting. When I really felt the call into the ministry full time, it meant leaving the family business and all the security and future there. I was 40 years old with 3 children to feed and care for. I had 1 in college and 2 in high school. That was 27 years ago. I've seen a lot of ups and downs in those 27 years in ministry. I've had the death of family members, church conflicts, friends walking away from me and my family, my wife's health struggles with mercury and lead poisoning, and my own health struggles. I've had a time in the fall of 2009 when I was contemplating leaving the ministry after an exceedingly difficult time in a church. A very dear friend had been trying to get me to go to Ecuador with him. His name is Javier. I call him Javi. He would call me every week and tell me that God was telling him that I was supposed to go with him to Ecuador. I kept pushing him away and doubting what Jav was asking me to do. Finally, one day, Jav called and said, "Hey, Dave, you're going to Ecuador. You're going to Ecuador. God just bought you a round-trip ticket." While I was there, the Holy Spirit mightily moved upon my heart and renewed my call. You see, I was worshiping and doubting. I'm being honest with you. I've been a pastor for 27 years, and there's times when I've worshiped and I've doubted. And God called me all the way to Ecuador to talk to me. Now, God's not going to have to call you to Ecuador. Maybe he's calling you right now on this program. But while I was in Ecuador, I journaled on Isaiah 61, 1 through 11. And it was the Holy Spirit in verse 11. For as the soil makes the sprout come up and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up from the nations. Well, I was nowhere near the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed Christian Fellowship was not even a church. It hadn't even been born. But I've paid all my expenses to go to Ecuador. There are so many stories of faith that sustained this church called the Seed Christian Fellowship now. And it's a foundation that started in 2010. The church has been around since 2010. Our mission depicts the Great Commission: know God's love, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, go in the power of the Holy Spirit, and sow seeds of faith. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Listen, Jesus spent a lot of his time on earth in community. Sure, he went away and he prayed by himself, but he was often found in a crowd, community. Friends, as we come to this time of closing this message, I know many are struggling with coming back to church. But you know, God's calling you to community. God's calling you to be a part of the body of Christ. Maybe you're worshiping and you're doubting, you're uncertain or hesitant. I'm going to encourage you to connect with the body of Christ, wherever you are. I know that God wrote these words in Matthew 28:17 for me, because it says that some of them worshiped and some of them distazo. Some of them were hesitant. Some of them were uncertain. Some of them doubted. And every one of us at different times in our lives have that sense of uncertainty or doubt or fear. And I believe that God is calling us right now to come back into the community. This pandemic has hit us hard. It's devastated many of the churches. People are holding back, hesitant. I'm going to encourage you to step out in faith. Come and worship the Lord. Even in your doubt, worship him. And his glory is going to manifest in this earth. We're called. Next week, we're going to look at 18, 19, and 20, that Great Commission. We're going to break that apart. We don't have time today to break it apart. But I want you to know it's okay where you're at. Maybe you're in that place of doubt or uncertainty or hesitating. Maybe you're distazo. Maybe you're like Peter when you walk on the water and then you start to sink and he says, oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? This message is for us, that we can stand and worship the Lord even in our doubt. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we give thanks that you call us to worship you even in our doubts, even in our hesitancy, even in our uncertainty. And Lord, I pray specifically today for those that are doubting that God is in control. I pray that you'd minister your grace to them in a real and personal way. Hold them in your grip of grace. Let them know that they are not alone. As you reached out to Peter and lifted him up, reach out to us and lift us up in our doubts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. Have a blessed week. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, PastorDave@theSeedChristianFellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, TheSeedChristianFellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.